Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast. I'd like you to turn to John chapter 3 this morning. John, the third chapter. You're going to get a different version of this message in this service because my other pair of glasses broke during the service. During worship, last service, so I stood up here and couldn't see a soul, Bob. If people was asleep, they had it to themselves. I would not have known it. In fact, I totally relied on my memory in every way. But I can see you now. I didn't reveal that to them. I didn't want them to think I couldn't see them sleeping. So I never revealed that, but during worship, my glasses broke. Boy, that's a good worship service when your glasses break. So that's all right. That's all right. I'm looking for the service that we have that I don't need no more glasses. How about that? Wouldn't that be awesome? Does anybody ever pray about stuff like that? I do. I've been in service where I take my glasses off and I pray the Lord will give me sight where I can see without the glasses. But you know what? He said, wear the glasses. You can see with the glasses, put the things on. So I got them on. John chapter 3. It's going to be a little bit before we read our text, but I want you to be there. John chapter 3. I'm going to preach a message this morning that I've titled Kingdom Living. Kingdom Living. And I really believe it's an important message because it's something we easily take for granted, those words, kingdom. In fact, we say it often. You know, we don't even realize it sometimes how much we may say it. And one of the thoughts that I had this week was regarding the model prayer, or as most people would refer to it, the Lord's Prayer. You know, the Lord's Prayer, you go just about every funeral you go to, and they give you the little card or program that'll have the obituary in it. You look, usually somewhere on that is printed the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes it may be the 23rd Psalm, but many times it's the Lord's Prayer. Countless weddings I've known where the Lord's Prayer is quoted or read or sung, even the Lord's Prayer. But when I was thinking about it, I couldn't help but think about my childhood playing sports, particularly baseball. And every single ball game, the coach would get real spiritual right before the game, and he would have us all say the Lord's Prayer. Now, you know what I'm talking about. Even the coach that had a foul mouth, he mustered up the Lord's Prayer and had you saying it, and we could say it so fast. I mean, we could say it bullet fast. Our Father which art in heaven, I mean, we would say that thing in a hurry and then be ready to play ball. Well, wonderful. When I coached baseball, I did the same thing. We said the Lord's Prayer. I try to take it a little bit further. I preach a little bit in there with them sometimes with the Lord's Prayer. But nevertheless, as I got to thinking about it, we say the words of the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, because it's the model prayer, because it's the prayer when the disciples said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. He said, pray like this. So let's say it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now just think about what we just said just now. We said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When it got down toward the end, we said, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. But how often do we think about what we're saying when we say, thy kingdom come, and thine is the kingdom? What are we referring to? What are we talking about? And I want to share that this morning. I think it's so important because we've been talking about for months now about spiritual development and growth. We've been talking about how to live our life beyond just being mediocre and just getting by, but he's wanting us to live a life of victory and spiritual development and growth and for us to be closer to the Lord than ever in our life, to continue to move forward. All of that being the case, it matters concerning the kingdom of God. And so in thinking about it, there's several verses of scripture I want to go to before we get to our text today. One is found in Romans. In Romans, we're going to look, I believe, Romans chapter 14, verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God is not, it's not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Meaning, what is it when we're eating and we drink? We eat, and when we drink, we can smell it, we taste it. It has the capacity to fill us, to quench a thirst, to satisfy hunger, but it's temporary. Everything that eating and drinking does is temporary. And the kingdom is not like eating and drinking. It's not tasting and smelling and feeling in that term, in that sense. But it is what Jesus said to the woman at the well. He said, I can give you something to drink where you'll never thirst again. Where you'll never thirst again. It's something that is not temporary. It's not something that is fleeting and temporal. It's not a temporary satisfaction. His kingdom is not like that. It is righteousness, meaning that Jesus Christ provides for us through his death, burial, and resurrection, and through our belief upon him and putting our faith and trust in him, we are made righteous. And in our being made righteous in Christ Jesus, we enter into the kingdom of God. We enter into his kingdom and we experience peace that surpasseth all understanding, and we experience a joy that is beyond just a happy moment, beyond happiness in this world. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is what the kingdom is. The kingdom of God is beyond this, the temporary nature of this world. It's beyond that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So it's more than words. It's more than that. Now, this is the word of God. These are words we learn about God. We come to an understanding of God. The word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall remain. But what this passage is telling us is that it is more than just a motivational speech. It is more than the words we say. In fact, it is incomparable. It is incomparable. It is unmatchable in our language to speak of all of the majesty and incredible nature of His kingdom. And so it says it's not in word, but in power. In power, His kingdom. We go on a little bit further to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Since we are receiving a kingdom, that's what we're receiving through a relationship with Jesus Christ, righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. What we're receiving is it cannot be shaken. This kingdom cannot be shaken. Lord, in this world's shaken all the time. The politics of this world is shaking all the time. The governments of this world they tremble and shake and go through periods of turmoil. We look at the nations of the world, they shake and tremble, and there's always some kind of mentions of turmoil and war and rumors of war and everything else that goes on in society. The economies are up and the economies are down. There's movement all around. The very earth itself shakes and trembles with earthquakes and various other what we would refer to as natural disasters, but the earth trembles and shakes. But this says the kingdom that we are receiving, it will not be shaken. That's why in the midst of the difficulties of life and the troubles and trials of life, you and I can have confidence in a God who is not shaken, who does not change, who is immutable because He changes not. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is everything that you and I need, and He is an all-wise, all-seeing God. He is sovereign, and in the midst of a shaking world, we can trust Him. We can trust Him. This is why when you're going through a tough report at the doctor that you can trust, because He changes not. He is all powerful. But we go through periods though in our lives where we can find ourselves not trusting. Because it's intangible, this kingdom. If we don't keep our minds fixed on the kingdom of God and the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is, by the way, the King of the kingdom. Who's the King of Kings? Who is it? Who is it? The King of Kings is Jesus. The Lord of Lords is Jesus. You see, that's why we got to keep our eyes fixed upon it. We got to keep our eyes fixed upon Him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in the midst of all of the challenges of life, because the temptation is to get our eyes off of those things. Because the kingdom is not something, again, we feel. It's not something we see with the natural eye. It's not something we hear with the natural ear. It's not something to be grasped by our flesh. And so there's a constant battle that goes on within us. Now, I want to give you a short outline of the whole Bible this morning. Anybody ready for that? Here it goes. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Here's the summary is found in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 of the first two chapters. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Basically, what we then have following in those verses, it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, and then we see creation described to us, how he created the heavens and the earth by his great power. He created everything that is within it. Everything that we understand about the solar systems and don't understand about the solar systems, he created it. The heavens and the earth, everything, the whole universe, he created it. Now, what he did there, we see in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, he established from the very beginning his kingdom. He had dominion over it. He created it. He was the creator. He was the sustainer of it. He set everything in motion, and he put everything in place. You and I still are under the impact of the creation of God, under his in what he established in his kingdom. Now, he also created human beings. And that was a part of his kingdom. And Adam and Eve were the first of that, those human beings that were created, and there they were. They were Eve means the mother of all living, and from them all the peoples of the earth have come. But Genesis chapter 3, we read where Eve, deceived by a serpent that beguiled her, deceived her in the Garden of Eden. He convinced her to do things her own way. He convinced her, and then she convinced, and she talked to Adam about it, and he joined in with her, and they decided to be a kingdom unto themselves. Hear it again. God created the kingdom. He established the kingdom. In chapter 3 of Genesis, mankind decided they wanted to do kingdom their own way. And they sang the song, I did it my way. That's exactly what happened. And ever since then, I want to tell you, I don't know who wrote the song, but the truth of the matter is, man has been trying to do it their way. That's why that's one of the saddest songs that you'll ever hear sung. I did it my way. Because our way is what led mankind down the road of sin and destruction. So there we go. We have the kingdom, Genesis 1 and 2, established, firmly established by God. We have in chapter 3, mankind saying, I want to do it my way. I want my own kingdom. God might have said that, but this is what I want to do. That's exactly what happened. Here's the third point of the outline. Genesis chapter 4 through Revelation 22, God is reestablishing his kingdom. And God through in the Old Testament begins to foreshadow and begins to set forth prophecy and begins to set forth his word and declaration. And even beginning in with Adam and Eve when they went into sin, and then they lost their innocence. They were born in innocence, but lost it because of sin. God, he killed an animal, taking the skin of that animal, clothing Adam and Eve. And that was a prophecy that one day God would send his son, Jesus, and Jesus would be the supreme sacrifice once and for all. And so when we read through the Old Testament about all the sacrifices, all it's doing is telling us that God has a plan to reestablish his kingdom on earth. And when Jesus came on the scene of that kingdom, there would not be any end, for Jesus would rule and reign forever and forever. We have a king in the kingdom of God. His name is Jesus. He is Lord and ruler and reigns over everything. And so what he's doing in our life, even now, his plan is about reestablishing his kingdom within the hearts and lives of people. And he's already accomplished everything that is needed for that upon the cross of Calvary through his death, burial, and resurrection, taking upon him the sins of all humanity, his blood being shed for remission of our sins. He did all of that so that you and I could enter the kingdom of God. Isn't that incredible? He did that so that you and I could receive a kingdom that would not be shaken. Not shaken at all. And so when the world is upside down and things are going crazy all around us, the word says, fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Why? Because that speaks to the kingdom that is not shaken. But if you put your eyes upon the waves of this world, you put your eyes upon the tribulation and turmoil of this world, you will be shaken. But for the people of God, He does not want that for you. Kingdom. This is what kingdom means. It means the rule of God. And so He wants us in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And in so doing, we enter the kingdom, and thus we are to follow the rule of God for our life. We've been given the word of God, which teaches us concerning the kingdom of God. It teaches us how to live. Listen, I want to encourage you. I believe the whole book, Genesis to Revelation. I've heard people say that, you know, I believe the concordance. Well, I'm not going that far. What I'm telling you is, they say, I believe the maps and everything. Don't do that. That was not in the original, in the book. So, but what I'm telling you from Genesis to Revelation, I believe it all. But what I want to encourage you is this. Focus on the New Testament. Because the New Testament tells us how to live in the kingdom. And what will happen is, I read the Old Testament too. I'm going to tell you a story from the Old Testament in just a few moments. But it's important that we immerse ourselves in the New Testament, because this is how we are to live. This is practically, He's telling us how I want you to live in a practical way in your life. I know that you've got to go to work every day. I know that you have to make money to pay your bills. I know that you need transportation. He knows that we need a shelter. He knows that we have electric bills and water bills. He understands all of these things. He knows all of that, but He's saying to us, I need you to practically understand my kingdom and pursue after kingdom and live in obedience to kingdom principles. And I need that to be first and foremost in your life as you do all these things. Remember this, Matthew 6:33, we've been talking about it, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Notice again, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these what shall be added unto you? We talked about it the other week. What, you got water, you need food, you need clothing, you need all these things. Those things are things that we need. He understands that, but He's wanting us to seek first His kingdom so that we can be living as a part of a world, that our life will not be shaken in this world in which we live. The kingdom of God is so important, so important. But as Matthew 6:24 says, we have a tendency to want to serve two worlds, the kingdom of God and what we want to do and the things of this world. And so if you're not careful, then we're double-minded, and the Bible says we'll be a double-minded person is unstable in all of their ways. The kingdom. So this is helpful for us today. Some bad news is in all of it, and another way of saying it again, we don't want it. Too often our flesh, because we live in this skin suit. How many people's got on a skin suit today? I want to make sure nobody's skeleton in here. No, but just bone. We got skin on. As long as we have skin on, long as we're in this body of flesh, we're going to have this pull on us to do it our way. Would everybody just admit that? I'm admitting that right today. Well, that's just who we are. Several of you won't admit it. We have that pull going on. But that's not God's plan. The pull, it can be there. Yes, this skin suit, this flesh, and the scripture bears it out. We have this pull of the world and a pull toward doing, to have my own kingdom. But that is not God's plan. That's why we're saying in that prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It is this desire to live under his authority, and that's what God desires for you and I, first and foremost. Now, I'll draw your attention to an Old Testament story found in Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, you can turn there because I want to tell you this story from Daniel chapter 4 because I believe it establishes for us really the problem we have with the kingdom. And it tells us that we will find ourselves we'll find ourselves under judgment if we ignore the kingdom of God. Now, don't forget your text that I had told you we would eventually read. But I want you just to, we're not going to read this chapter 4 of Daniel. I'm just going to tell you what's there. And therefore, there's a couple of verses I'm going to refer to. But Nebuchadnezzar was king. He was this Babylonian king. By the time we're reading here in Daniel 4, we find that Nebuchadnezzar has taken the Jewish people captive. They're in captivity. They've been led out. Their city's been destroyed. They've been led into Babylon, really the country of their enemies. But living in Babylon, under this Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, certainly was great hardships for many. But there were some of the Jewish people that had, because of their wisdom and their talents and their giftings, had risen to places of authority in that kingdom. Daniel was one of those. Now, looking at King Nebuchadnezzar, he was a person who, as king, he had an incredible kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylon, what was the headquarters of this kingdom, we know that is in modern day Iraq, by the way. That was a place that was considered in ancient times one of the wonders of the world. The vast wealth of Babylon, the vast wealth of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Everything that could be had by a kingdom was had by this kingdom. And it was something that King Nebuchadnezzar had great pride concerning. In fact, his pride had risen to a place where he thought of himself as greater than God himself. He began to think of his kingdom more highly than he ought to. He began to think of what he had done in far greater ways than what he ever should have. That was King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar one night had a dream. And in that dream, and I'm using my own words here, and you can read it there in the fourth chapter of Daniel for yourself. But in that dream, basically he didn't understand what it meant, but he knew it had some significance. And he asked for somebody in the kingdom that could interpret this dream. And the person they found that had known and had been known to interpret dreams was one named Daniel. Daniel sat down, heard the dream that the king had had. He interpreted the dream, and it was a prophetic word from God concerning Nebuchadnezzar himself. And there Daniel shared with him what this dream meant. And basically it was this, that I'm going to bring you who have risen, have come to a place where you think too highly of yourself, and you more fixated on your kingdom than anything else, and you think it's better than anything else, and your way is better than anything else. He's saying, I'm going to judge you and bring you low. and I'm going to bring you to a place that will be the lowest of low. This is what is being said to him. In fact, you'll come to a place where you'll be like an animal grazing in a field, eating the grass. You'll come to a place of judgment where you will have lost everything. You'll have come to a place where you have no clue as to how low this place will be. That was what was being declared to him. 12 months later, think about it. Think about hearing this. 12 months later, Nebuchadnezzar is on his palace roof, perhaps, or balcony. And he's looking out over that great kingdom that he has, and he starts speaking of how great is this kingdom I've got. Look what all I have done. It's greater than anything that the worlds have ever made. And again, these are my own words. And while it was still in his mouth, everything that God said he was going to do in bringing judgment to Nebuchadnezzar because of his great pride, it came to pass. Even while those prideful words were in his mouth, and according to the scripture, he became an insane man. He was a man who, however you want to say it, he had a nervous breakdown, but he became like a wild animal, uncontrollable in the sense of he became base and low and literally became as one who was grazing in a pasture. Not just figurative language. But he literally lost his mind in judgment. Now, after a period of time, this is the grace and mercy of God, what I'm about to read to you. Daniel 4, verse 34. And at the end of the time, what does that mean? At the end of the time, when he had went through all of this experience of judgment and insanity, Nebuchadnezzar lifted my eyes to heaven. Here's the mercy of God. And my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. I want to ask you, is he getting it correct about the kingdom here? Listen. For his dominion, talking about God's dominion, is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Listen, he came to an understanding that no matter what he had as King Nebuchadnezzar, it was incomparable to who God was. It was incomparable. You and I need to always remember whatever we've got in our bank account, it is incomparable to who God is. No matter what we have in this life, no matter what talents and education and giftings we have in this life, we don't need to think too highly of ourselves, because in comparison to God, it is minute. It is a small thing. But what we do need to recognize that he deserved the glory. He deserves the honor. He deserves the praise. And we need to make sure and pursue after his kingdom and his righteousness, and he'll take care of all the other stuff. The kingdom of God. He wants us a part of it. But it's dangerous when we lift ourselves up in pride. And the thing is, we do that in subtle ways. We don't just do it this way. We do it by doing it our way. Saying, God, I'm going to do it my way or the highway. And God said, to your own peril. To your own peril. Keep your eyes on me. Now, I want to just share with you this in the kingdom. And this is very important. Several thoughts today. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now what I want us to see here is that in this passage of scripture, after Jesus' crucifixion, after he died on the cross, after they buried him in the tomb, and he rose from the grave, from that day he rose to his ascension was 40 days. During those 40 days, all he talked to them about was pertaining to the kingdom. I want to ask you again, is kingdom important? Living according to his way, is it important? So much so that that's all that Jesus talked about. Well, when we read the Gospels, when he was with them, what did he talk about? He talked about the kingdom. We have parables of the kingdom written for us in the Gospels. Here Jesus had 40 days left on earth before he ascended to heaven. What did he talk to the disciples about? He talked about about the kingdom. What was he talking about to them? About how to practically live out their Christianity. How to live it out. And what we find as we unfold and turn the pages of the New Testament again, he's talking to them about the kingdom. In fact, we go to Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 24, and we read the story about a man named Simon the Sorcerer. He was a magician. In fact, it appears that he was a famous magician. And he heard the preaching of Philip and the others and got saved. He got saved. He believed. He started following. He started hearing them. And one of the things they did, they started praying for the sick, and the sick recovered and were healed. Being the guy that was a magician before, guess what? You know, sometimes you want the self starts rising up, right? Listen, if I've been a magician, he was a sorcerer. Think about it just for a moment. You'd been a magician your whole life. You'd been famous for it. People wanted to see you. He got saved. He had given that up, that sorcery. And now he sees the disciples praying for people and the sick recovering. And he said, I want to do that. Bible says he tried to buy it. He said, how much can I pay for that? He said, how much does that cost? I want to be able to do that. Peter rebuked him. He rebuked him. He said, you don't do that. And Peter called him out. There's something wicked going on in your heart. This ain't right. You need to make things right. What Simon the sorcerer learned was that kingdom power can't be purchased. It can't be manipulated. It's not of this world. It only comes from God, and you can't buy it. You and I, when we come into Christ Jesus, when we are saved, we have access to kingdom power because he bestows it upon his people and we receive his kingdom. And I want to tell you, he gives us power to live this thing out. And it's sometime in the middle of the night, maybe you have a child or a grandchild or maybe your spouse is burning up with fever in the middle of the night or something else is going on and you don't know what to do, and then you call on the God of heaven to move in that situation. I want to tell you, kingdom power is coming then, and it didn't cost a dime. You don't have to send in $700 to some television, Christian television program to get your healing. What you need to do is call on God. You don't need the 800 number. This is a kingdom that is of Christ. It belongs to him. And you and I, when we come into relationship with him, have kingdom power. Acts chapter 14, verses 20 and 21. We'll go there. I think we got that one. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Let me tell you about this. This was in Lystra. What we know is in Lystra, the Apostle Paul had been stoned by great rocks they sought to kill him by stoning him. The Apostle Paul crawled out from under them rocks, surviving. He comes back to this place in this passage after that had already happened. He comes back here and preaches again. What did he say? We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. What I want to tell you is this. We need kingdom endurance. You may think, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I've been going through a lot of stuff. It seems like the enemy's after me at every turn. I want to tell you, there's kingdom endurance available to us if we'll just trust Him. He can help us through periods of tribulation. We don't know what this we're going to face in this life. I want to tell you, if you'll keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus, no matter what the trial, no matter what the tribulation, you can endure to the end. And the scripture says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. One preacher put it this way. When Christians go through tribulations, they need to tribulate. What does he mean? Endure. Endure. And when we're in the kingdom, we can endure. Don't. But if you focus on yourself, you'll be drugged down. Drug. I don't know, just English lesson came to mind. I don't know. All I know is, if we try to do it our way, we won't make it. But we can endure if we do it His kingdom way. Acts 19, verse 8 and 9. And when some were, this is verse 9, and when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from there and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Listen, here, he's in Corinth, and he's preaching the kingdom, he's preaching the gospel, but he says, there were many who became hardened to the preaching. And what the word hardened means is they got dry. Listen, I've seen people that have gone here to church for periods of time, and they came week after week, but they didn't really receive Christ and His word into their heart. They just were coming, maybe turning over a new leaf, trying to do things better. Trying religion, but they dried up and got hardened. Maybe they wanted something a little flashier, maybe something that felt a little better, maybe something that would. And what it says here is that Paul took his disciples and they pulled out, they pulled back. There's kingdom power, there's kingdom endurance, but there's also kingdom separation, which is a sad thing. I've mentioned before in previous weeks, kingdom sometimes thins out the crowd. Some people don't want His kingdom. But God, help us to not give up on anybody. But in this instance, he had to pull back. I pray that Paul was able to go there again and maybe their hearts were more pliable. We don't know. Because he did a great work in Corinth. He did incredible works. Maybe some of these people came to him later. I don't know, but that's a scary thought to get hardened to this. Then the last one, Acts 20, verse 20, talks about how he said, I kept back nothing, Paul said, that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Here Paul is telling us again, he said, I've not held anything back. I've kept on, even despite opposition, even despite the difficulties, I've kept on doing it. I've not let up. And I want to tell you, you and I need to remember that kingdom commitment is of utmost importance. Stay committed. Paul had to stay committed. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. He said, preach the word, Timothy. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. There'll come a time, I believe we're in that day, when many people would just want to hear what would help them with their kingdom instead of turning everything over to God and submitting and surrendering their life to His kingdom. Listen, that's the heart of Christianity. That's the heart today. I pray that you'll never say the Lord's Prayer the same as you, same way ever again. When you say with me again, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Here it is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.